That was such an appropriate song for our lesson tonight about I surrender all. And I wonder how many are willing to do that. Surrender all. That's what he asks us to do. I mentioned this morning, tonight's lesson is going to focus on prejudice or discrimination, persecution against a certain group or class of people. You know, throughout history, there have been many, many different groups and peoples that have been the victims of prejudice, that have been the victims of discrimination. Even some of our famous American documents address this issue. The Declaration of Independence says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Preamble to the Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And then, of course, the Gettysburg Address. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. In the past many years, there have been so many different groups, so many different peoples that have been persecuted for a variety of prejudices. And of course, here in America, we think about slavery, and that was certainly one of the worst in our country's history. But many others have been persecuted as well. There have been many throughout the world. One which I will devote a whole lesson to sometime is Darwin's theory of evolution, probably the most racist, most prejudiced document ever written. The full title of his famous work is The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. He believed that certain races were more human than other races. Adolf Hitler killed vast numbers of people who he believed were inferior. In other words, they came from inferior races, Jews, Slavs, Poles. Of course, this was his attempt to cleanse his blonde-haired, blue-eyed Aryan race of what he thought were inferior genetic traits. And the list could go on and on and on. Many of the problems in certain parts of Europe were caused by prejudice of different groups of people, regardless of the reason. So as always, we want to approach it from one standpoint, and that is, what does the Bible say about it? Because ultimately, that's what we have to be concerned about. First of all, there was great prejudice among the Jews. The Jews of the Bible times, strong racial prejudices. And of course, they were prejudiced against everybody that wasn't a Jew. To them, the Gentiles were an abomination. They couldn't stand the Gentiles. They hated everyone but other Jews. And even when a Jew came from the marketplace, he went through ritual cleansing just in case he had touched elbows with a Gentile. That's how inferior the Jews thought the Gentiles were. That Gentiles would contaminate them because they were inferior. And the thing about it, there is absolutely none whatsoever, Old Testament legislation that forbade the Jews from normal social contact with the Gentiles. None whatsoever. It was these traditions of the elders that brought those things, those regulations, into existence. Jesus talks about this in John chapter 4. Very familiar scene and background in John chapter 4, of course, is where he talks to the woman at the well. In John chapter 4, though, beginning in verse 7, he is there at the well, Jacob's well, in verse 7 of John 4. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." She understood that Jews had absolutely no dealings at all with Samaritans. And of course, Samaritans were related. But they still, the Jews would have nothing to do with the Samaritans. That's how the Jews thought of the Samaritans. So there was a great deal of prejudice and discrimination by the Jews upon the Gentiles. Something that Jesus spoke about and spoke against repeatedly. But there was also prejudice at other times that we'll see. Prejudice in the early church. The apostles and all the earliest members of the church were all Jews. All of them. On the day of Pentecost, when the church was started there in Acts chapter 2. Who was there? Jews. They were there, of course, because of Pentecost. They were there observing, celebrating the feast. So they were Jews. The Jews were the ones that first heard that gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2. And for almost 10 years after the beginning of the church, it was exclusively Jews who made up that early church. But then things changed. And it's that change that we need to address. We want to look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, things change. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 9, we have what's called Peter's vision. Peter's vision, verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice said to him, or came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Then notice down in verses 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." And of course, this was the beginning of a great evangelistic work among the Gentiles. That began in that very next chapter. Notice Acts chapter 11, verse 1. "Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God." Verse 18, "When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, 'Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life.'" Verse 20, "But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." And so thus begins that great work among the Gentiles. But what had to happen? Peter had to have this trance, this vision of the sheet. He had to be convinced that the Gentiles were worthy of the gospel. And that's how God showed him. Peter said, look in that sheep. There's things I'm not supposed to eat. They're unclean. God said, I've made them clean. So you can rise, Peter, kill and eat. And it was a great visual for him to understand. A thought for us today is, what would have been in your sheet? What would have been in your sheet? The sheet of prejudice, the sheet of discrimination, would have been people of different political views or different social views? Would it have been people of different educational backgrounds? Would it have been people of different occupations? Would it have been people of different socioeconomic status? What would have been in your sheet? In Peter's sheet, it was the unclean, the Gentiles. That's who he despised, because they had grown up with that. But God said, everyone now is equal. Peter, don't discriminate against Gentiles anymore, because God is no respecter of persons. Peter said, I now understand that. I understand it. And like I said, that began a great work among the Gentiles. But Peter had to get over that racial prejudice. He had to get over that idea that they were not worthy for it. And then countless Gentiles, more than the Jews, accepted the gospel. So what for us would have been in that sheet? Are there some that we do not want to take the gospel to, that we don't think deserve it? That's what we have to think about. The Bible does teach, especially in the New Testament, about prejudice. In Galatians chapter 3, when Paul wrote to those churches in Galatia, I don't think David has quite got this far in his study on Sunday morning, but in Galatians chapter 3, next to the last verse, in talking about who constituted sons of God through faith, he says in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. He says salvation is open to all. Does it make any difference whether they were Jew or Gentile? Does it make any difference whether they were slave or free? Makes no difference whether they were male or female. There are no differences. Anybody who comes to Christ in faith can be saved. No ifs. They can be. The same thing is stressed in Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, when Paul writes to the church at Colossae. He says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Again, anyone can be in Christ and come to Christ regardless of their background, if they're willing to come and, like the song said, surrender all. And a great teaching, and one of the best, I think, in the New Testament dealing with prejudice is found in James chapter 2. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. James chapter 2, verse 1 says this, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Well, there he starts from the very beginning. He says, you cannot look partiality on people when it comes to the faith. Makes no difference who they are. So he says, for if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings, in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? He says that's what you're doing when you make distinctions there based on a person's wealth. He says you're discriminating and you've become a person with evil or wicked thoughts when you do that. He says, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you've dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you're called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. He's saying that faith in the Lord and showing favoritism simply are not found in the same person. In other words, we can't say we are followers of the Lord and at the same time show favoritism, be prejudiced, discriminate. Why? Because all people need Christ. That's what he says. Everybody needs to be a son of God, regardless of their background. They all need it. Jesus died on the cross to break down barriers, to break that barrier between Jew and Gentile. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul makes this crystal clear that Jesus broke down that wall. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, Paul writes this. For he himself, referring to Christ back in the prior verse, is our peace, who's made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. That wall of separation in the temple that separated Jews from Gentiles. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to have created himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. He might reconcile them both to God in body through the cross, by putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. See what the cross did? It broke down the barriers. It broke down the barriers. And as Peter said there in Acts chapter 10, God is no respecter of persons. Christ has broken down all barriers. Anyone can come to him. Anyone, male or female, rich or poor, makes no difference what their background is. They can come to Christ if they come in faith. Because why? Christ has broken down the barriers. Christians of all people should never show prejudice, discrimination against people based on their wealth, based upon their status, based upon their occupation, any of those things. Christian should be one who shows that God wants everyone to come to his Son. And everyone is to come the same way because everyone, regardless of their color, regardless of their background or anything else, it all starts with faith. So a person, regardless of who they are, who has faith, then that faith is to do something. It's to act. It's to encourage. It moves someone to repent, to place their faith in Christ and turn their lives around, confess his name, and be baptized. And that's for everyone. Christ died on the cross so anyone and everyone could have their sins washed away by his blood. And this evening, if that is something you need, then we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.